It is time for Trade Secrets on iRadio's Group Chat, where we dive into interesting careers. And today I am joined by Chef Jonathan Kane, the Executive Head Chef at The Lodge at Ashford Castle. He's originally from Connemara, and his journey started at just 15 years old, washing pots in his local pub. By 21, he was already a head chef in a busy tourist hotspot, and since then, he's gone on to be named Best Chef in Ireland by the Good Eating Guide. Jonathan, delighted that you're on the show this evening sharing some trade secrets with us for sure. Welcome to the show. So you started out washing pots at 15. Do you remember the exact moment that you realised, chefing, that is exactly what I want to do. I want to be in a kitchen for the rest of my life, maybe just not in this exact scenario.
Yeah, I suppose growing up, well, I started on my 15th birthday. But before that, it was either a chef or a carpenter. So it was always going to be something with my hands, you know. And I started on my 15th birthday washing pots in the local pub. And I just look around the corner into the kitchen and see these fully grown men, these chefs. They seem terribly glamorous and a bit of a rock and roll lifestyle, which I was drawn to it, the hustle and bustle, and I suppose the noise and, you know, everything about it really kind of intrigued me from a young age. And that's how I kind of started.
And then going on to be a head chef at just 21. What is that like when you are 21? Because I'm not that long past my 21st, but like, as in, I can't imagine being in such a high pressure environment that young. What did the pressure teach you so early on?
Yeah, well, I suppose in hindsight, it was way, way too young to be a head chef, but I suppose I moved up the ladder quite quickly. I discovered fairly fast that I was a good cook and I was able to handle the pressure and stuff. And I suppose I used getting in the head chef job so young was a good way to, I suppose, make my mistakes nice and early. Cooking in Ireland back then, just coming towards the tail end of the 90s, was very different than it is now. It was very much kind of copying London, New York, Paris. We still hadn't really developed our own food culture here. And it was very much, you know, Hell's Kitchen was starting to air and there was a lot of aggression in kitchens and stuff. So it was a bit of a manic lifestyle, you know, back then and throughout my 20s. It was really work hard, play hard, you know, and all my buddies that were chefs were kind of in the same boat, you know.
What are some realities in the life of a chef that people might be surprised about?
I suppose the main one you kind of have to get your head around is you need to be passionate about the job because it is hard work. You know, it's long hours, it's unglamorous hours, you miss weekends. But I'm always, when this comes up and, you know, chefs coming into the industry, I'm always kind of drawn to what, say, a football player or a snooker player would say, they're not working because they're doing what they love, you know. So it's a bit like that for me. But of course, you have to really love it because there's no real way of doing it. OK, I was a head chef at 21, but like I don't really class myself as being a head chef until more than 10 years later, you know, really in the industry, because, you know, it's tough. It can be hard work. You have to make sacrifices, but it, as I look back, I'm a long time doing it now, the rewards far outweigh the work, you know.
How did growing up in Connemara influence your cooking? Because I know you'd probably have loads of access to fresh produce there. How did that influence how you approach cooking now?
Well, it's massive now. It's kind of come full circle because when I was growing up, everybody had ridges out the back of their garden. They grew their own potatoes, that kind of stuff. That went away and that was gone all through my early years as a chef because the Celtic Tiger was here. Everybody was so busy and, you know, everything was bought in and rushed and everything. Now, again, with the rise of sustainability and awareness and stuff, it's come full circle. We have a big, huge garden here now and we have just putting ridges in to this big feed we have and we're going to grow potatoes and carrots. So it's almost like going back in time. And, you know, with that, you get good food and you don't get chemicals and stuff. But there's also a sense of place in it and, you know, a sense of nostalgia almost that now it really is back to basics. And now we have a good food culture and you can respect the ingredients rather than, you know, kind of copying these kind of mythical figures, Marco Pierre White, and you know, what's happening in England and places like that. You know, now we can stand on our own 2 feet. And I find it very much, my cooking now is very much linked to my childhood anyway. And, you know, and I suppose I work here in a beautiful place, a beautiful part of the country. But even throughout my career, I'd always been drawn to an area like this, west of Ireland, you know, just real in tune with the nature of it, you know.
Do you think that there are any food trends that people are following at the minute that are a little bit overhyped, or are there some that are underrated as well? I'm sure you'd be the best man to ask about that.
Well, there's that, and even myself on my journey, you know, there'll be very little trends that I haven't tried throughout. You know, there'll be sous vide cooking, molecular cuisine when Heston Blumenthal got big, using lots of chemicals and food to reshape deconstructed desserts, all this kind of stuff. But now I feel that everybody is cooking a little bit more simply and more naturally. And on this estate here, what we really try and do is represent the food in its best form. So very little messing with it, really, you know, and just cook it simply. Like, I suppose in my 20s as a chef, I would have been, in my head, too cool for crumble. And now it's like crumble all over my menus, and it's the best seller, and you just make it properly, and, you know, everybody loves it, you know.
Crumble is such a solid one. I feel like if I was at the lodge at Ashford Castle, I would definitely be ordering some crumble for myself as well. Come here, tell me about studying to become a chef. How essential is a degree in all of this? I imagine that practice and actually cooking as much as possible is the main ingredient, excuse the pun, to becoming a good chef.
Yeah, for me, it was like I went to college in ATU, which was GMIT when I was there in the late 90s. And it's essential, but it's not representative of what you go out to. Like a lot of industries, you got to learn these things. Being a chef, there's such a mountain of knowledge you have to learn even to get by on the basics. And then, like, I'm picking up new stuff every day, but there is a repertoire you have to know and you have to learn, like any industry. When you go out into the industry, then it's very different, you know. It's not like getting up, going in at 9 and coming home at 5. It's completely different to that. It's, you live it, you breathe it, you learn, you make loads of mistakes. And really, it's not to let that get you and learn from it, you know. My food is ever evolving, like, and it's going to be different next year than it is this year. And, you know, and that's fine, you know. But you do need a basic skill set, like in any craft, you know, or any industry that you work with your hands, really. There are skills you need to learn professionally.
I know we've referenced this a couple of minutes ago, kind of about that stereotype that would have been out there, that's probably still out there a bit, about chefs being, you know, they could be angry, or they could be cross in a high pressure environment. What's the key part of establishing a good mindset as a chef?
Well, for me, it's about teaching and culture and leadership, you know. Has this thing that I think a lot of that is to do with what I've seen on television. Shouting at staff was okay, you know. And while it is in places, it is very hyped. Like, I've worked for a lot of head chefs, and I've worked for loads of mentors. These people, like, they're fonts of knowledge that you're under their wing. And I'd like to think that I try and do that with my team now. So it's hyped up. For some reason, the media hypes up, you know, a lot of aggression in kitchen. It exists, absolutely, but it's not as widespread as people think, you know. And in my experience, you know, if I got to do it all again, I would do it and do it. Like, the doors this opens, the knowledge that you gain, you know, the life skills you gain just by being able to cook properly, you know. It's a really valuable life skill. Some of the people I've met, cooked with, you know, it's a really exciting career.
Yeah, it sounds it. It's something that I wish I was extremely, extremely good at. I mean, I can definitely cook, but nowhere near a distance of some of the best chefs out there. That would only be a dream to be that good at something. But if there's someone listening this evening who is thinking about becoming a chef, what would be your main piece of advice on them breaking into the industry, perhaps?
if they go to a kitchen, ask loads of questions. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. We're there to teach. So chefs my age really are training to the chefs of tomorrow. All we're doing is kind of trying to leave a bit of a legacy, leave the industry in better nick than it was in. But you really, as a young person going into a kitchen, you really need to ask loads of questions. The head chef or the sous chef will spot that this person is very interested and will be more inclined to spend time with them, teach them, you know. Whereas if you just come in, you might be not inclined to ask questions or wanting to keep the head down. That will be because of stereotypes that you've brought in your head into the kitchen. The generation now are full of questions. They're full of wanting, they tell you straight out what they want from their career, what they want from their time with you. And really, I just sit people down and say, I only want two things, you know, that you're going to be a better chef when you leave, and when you're here, you're happy. And the key to that is communication and talking. Sure, it's a busy, high-pressured environment. But when you're doing, again, when you're doing what you love and it's in a teaching environment, it can really, really be brilliant. Like, you know, new stuff coming in. Here in the lodge, we go out to the sea and pick our own seaweed. And normally when we go out, we'll have a barbecue on the beach. And you'll be getting a lot of looks by everyone on the beach because you're barbecuing like wild mallard and three-cornered leek and stuff like that. And, you know, it's not your average barbecue and a bunch of chefs, but it's, you know, it's really back to teaching all the time, and life skills. Because even if they decide years later they don't pursue it, they now have an essential life skill, you know. And cooking, you know, it takes place in our houses every day, you know. It's huge, like, you know. So to be able to cook is it's a great advantage in life.
Well, Jonathan, thank you so much for sharing all about your job and your life and your career thus far on Trade Secrets on iRadio's group chat this evening, and wishing you all of the best coming into a very busy summer season, no doubt.
My pleasure.